Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
Austin, the greatest sports city in the world. Period. And this is Boston's home for the Bruins, Celtics, Patriots, and Revolution. Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Toucher and Rich.
Self-help shenanigans.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. It has been a while since we did this, but everyone has a odd area of expertise. And we will have a contest that runs from today through Friday. There is no prize. It is just for bragging rights. And each one of us has picked a category in which we are savants.
It has to be something fairly obscure.
Who's filling in on Friday, Dan? Do you know? No. But Rich isn't going to be here on Friday.
Do
they know that?
Is it Dan?
We'll figure that out. I guess.
Yeah, because you're on the sheet as being here.
Oh, well, I asked off that day. So that was a day that was requested off. So.
All right. Do you have the paperwork signed and returned?
I do.
All right.
It's the day I requested off.
So we're going to have whoever fills in do that. But nonetheless, this one is John Wallach's.
Yep.
And Mike Lockhart put it together, by the way, and started falling in love.
Well, real quick, this is a game that we have played in the past, and it was called
I Rule! Yeah!
Okay.
I forgot I did that.
Said with such authority from John Wallach. And when we all were coming out down with our things that we have an obscure knowledge of, the one thing that immediately we had to go with John Wallach on was...
Yeah. Well, it wasn't immediate. It took some brainstorming. But nonetheless, Lockhart was pulling clips of 90210 and was watching it. And now he's full bore. He's going in. You can kind of skip season one.
Yeah.
Because they were trying to make it. It shifted gears. They were at first, it was like a... Like kind of preachy high school show where they learned lessons, and then
all the writing is, you know, Dylan McKay shows up. I'm feeling dangerous today.
There was like when Brandon like goes to the black school and
right.
And then so they do a joint rap, him and David Silver. They get everyone together.
I don't think it's a joint rap. It was a dance.
David Silver and the black guy
from
the bad school. They get together and they
switch it up. Yeah, exactly.
I'm still fascinated that you guys watch this show. And I know you've said it's because the girls in your dorm or whatever.
I have a very similar experience to Lockhart that the girls, first of all, the class of 90210 is my class. So when they were freshmen in college, I was a freshman in college. So, like Lockhart, who is now, he's now 90210, now he's gonna go full, he's gonna go all the way in on it.
Okay.
I had, like, the girls in my dorm would watch it, and I had this huge crush on a girl, and Melrose Place 90210. Never liked Melrose Place. 90210 started going, alright. And I never stopped. The last episode ever, I worked at Jocks and Jills in Midtown. We had a viewing party.
All right.
Very disappointing, by the way, the last episode.
Well, here's how it's going to work, is that in each one of the days, today was John Wallach, we are going to have 10 questions for the obscure thing that you say that you have knowledge of. And then at the end of the 3 days, we are going to figure out who got the most out of 10 and who indeed rules. All right?
All right.
So today, John Wallach, it's going to be 90210 trivia. So what I'm going to do is I am going to give you a question.
And don't say if it's right or wrong.
No, I have a sound clip that will prove whether it's right or wrong.
No, but then you don't say if it's right or wrong. You tally it up, and then at the end you tell them.
No, let's not do it
that way.
That's
how we used to do it.
I know, but let's not do it this way because we have like sound answers.
Okay.
All right, which are pretty fantastic from what Mike tells me.
Okay, fair enough.
Okay, so are you ready?
Yeah.
All right, we have 10 questions. Number one, this singing bad boy introduces Donna Martin to a flight of stairs.
Oh, that's please. Ray Pruitt.
That's a police.
Why are you so mad at me?
Because you make me mad.
You know what? I've got to work on my speech.
No.
Oh, you're hurting me.
You're going to listen to me.
No!
Donna.
He didn't mean to throw her down the stairs.
What was really ugly about that is that Donna had to give a speech. Later in the episode, it was at an Alpha convention in Palm Springs.
And she didn't know.
No, you're not your peacock.
No, she didn't. Well, and she didn't.
When else am I going to have the opportunity to do this?
But, John, she struggled for several episodes to say something. And Ray was very convincing. He lost his temper, and but they dealt with domestic abuse.
None of it came out until Ray Pruitt tried to get her back when she was dating the quarterback, Joe Bradley.
All right, we only have a few minutes to get to these questions.
We have plenty of time.
There, right?
Don't you rush us. Don't you dare rush us.
That was a problem.
No.
You're not the
gatekeeper.
That was a problem. I'm the key master.
John and I can nerd out as much as we want.
All right. Now, question number two. Brandon was head over heels for his girlfriend, Brooke Alexander, but this fatal flaw ended their relationship.
She was a bigot. She was a racist.
Blacks are against the Koreans. The Koreans are against the blacks.
Yeah.
They're both against us.
I don't believe that.
Well, you can believe what you want, Brandon, but the next time there's a riot in this town, you better believe they're going to come to places like this for payback time.
Wow.
Beverly Hills. That scene was on the beach. They were roller skating, you see, and it was during the summer. They did all the episodes during the summer, and that was while he was working at the Beverly Hills Beach Club.
Yeah, you knew that it was a phenomenon when they were going all in the summer.
But that's just it. That hadn't been done before. No.
I mean, Saved by the Bell did copy that formula.
Yeah, it's true, and that's how we found Leah Remini.
And you still knew the dichotomy between Brandon.
Why are you watching Saved by the Bell?
Because that episode, that whole series, when Saved by the Bell went to the beach and Zach fell in love with Leah Remini? Stacey Carosi? Yeah.
See, but you knew that was a dumb show. At least, like, 90210, you could kind of try to...
Saved by the Bell is... No. I still watch Saved by the Bell.
Cutting edge at the time. I don't know what your problem
is. Continue.
All right, question number three. David's friend Scott Scanlon was celebrating this when he started twirling a gun around like Wyatt Earp and accidentally shot and killed himself.
It was his birthday.
Ironic.
Scott, come on. They found some... Hey, David, check this out. Scott. Stop. Scott, quit that!
For those who have not seen the episode, so he's taking his gun and flipping it around like this, and it just shoots him slowly.
Everyone calm down.
No.
First of all, it was the greatest thing ever because they said, someone's going to die.
That's right.
And it showed all the main cast. And
it's always
this guy.
Yeoman Bob, a guy who's only been on like 10 episodes.
No, this kid was on the show and then wasn't on the show for a couple years and came back like the episode before.
Just so they could kill him.
Yeah,
but he was wearing a cowboy hat because he spent the entire summer in Oklahoma.
That's how you know.
That's how he got involved with guns, you see.
Right, and then he was in Oklahoma and like those stupid hicks. Yeah. He was playing with the gun, and the next thing you know, by the way, the acting, very good
and
in that.
David Silver took a while for David to get over that, and then finally Brandon wanted to write an obituary, and David like freaked out in the DJ booth. It was an ugly thing.
Okay. There's 8 questions. Question number 4. David Silver gets hooked on this drug in college to try and keep with his college workload.
That is too much to do.
It was speed, right?
Yeah, it was meth.
Speed. It was speed. Yeah.
Where's the stuff?
Listen, Silver, I am not a dealer. Don't treat me like one.
Okay, fine. I'm sorry. Just please tell me you have it.
Will you get a grip? Crank's not an everyday drug. It will fry your brain.
Now you tell me.
Well, I thought you could handle it.
I can. Look, I just have to get through the week, okay, so I can get on with my life. You want to hit out some extra juice?
Okay, all right, that's some cool talk.
He had schoolwork, then he had the DJ, him and Donna had
overnight shift.
Had the relationship show.
Yeah, that's right.
And so he had to stay up crank.
You guys are unbelievable.
When was the last time you heard the term crank?
Sure.
Been a while. Yeah,
some good crank. All right, question number 5. By the way, you're perfect. 4 for 4 in
okay.
this. All right, Steve punches his childhood friend Chucky after he throws his sensitive subject in his face.
His mother. He was adopted, sorry.
Well, it's a known fact. Adopted kids are insecure.
How the hell did you know that?
Hey, Steve.
Hey,
I've known since we were 7.
Everybody knew, Steve.
We're all supposed to keep it quiet till Samantha told you. I guess she finally broke the news, huh? I wonder what took her so long. You know, Steve.
Interesting turn of events, though. Rush actually turns out to be his real dad at the end. He thought Rush adopted him, but Rush turns out to be his real father.
Is this Rush before they play golf with the Bonzes on the
It's after. It's okay. After. This they play after. Golf with the Bond. Apparently, Rush was keeping the golf balls in the refrigerator to get a little extra distance.
Yeah. Are these questions tough, by the way?
Steve.
I didn't know the last one, though.
Steve threatens to throw the whole match. Unless Rush starts using the regular golf balls.
Right.
Yeah. This next one.
Because Steve was put on a lot of pressure. His father put a lot of pressure
on him. Oh, God. Rush
is merciless. Did this next one really happen on the show?
No, it's fake. Come on.
While Dylan searches for his lost cat in the rain, his wife Tori heads out, only to die this way. She
gets gunned down in her car by a hitman hired by her own father.
That's right.
Yeah.
And it was, what's her name?
Tony Marchette.
No, but in real life, she was... She was a model.
Yes.
A Victoria's Secret model.
Oh, I forget her real name.
I just read about her
yesterday. Tony Marchette.
Cat.
Good, you're here.
What?
Bruno called me. He told me not to let you go downtown to Marchette's. Something's up.
Tony already let you go down there, man.
What the hell?
Get shot with a lightsaber.
All right, here you go.
I rule.
Bonus question. What's a cat's name?
Oh, I have no idea.
Trouble is the cat's name.
She found some trouble there. Yeah. She got killed in a drive-by shooting.
No, she was boxed in by two cars, you see. They trapped her because she was driving his car.
It was Rebecca Gayheart.
Okay, all right. Yeah. Question number 7. Donna finds David cheating on her with Ariel, a publicist. Where did Donna find them hooking up?
In the limo behind the stage.
Donna, I can explain.
There's nothing to explain. I understand. I understand everything.
Donna, wait.
I rule.
Yeah. And you know David after?
And then there was a drive-by shooting.
She gave him crabs, too. It was bad.
Yeah, because he was with Kari Wuhr.
True story.
Kari Wuhr gave him crabs. So he's with Kari Wuhr.
Kari Wuhr is worth crabs.
Kari Wuhr, post-breast...
Put that on a shirt.
She is worth crabs. She's worth herpes.
Did you ever watch Remote Control?
No, but this is post-breast implants. So she's even like 1,000 times hotter because she has breast implants.
Yeah, that's right.
But can you imagine, David, the clanging that had to be going around? And the pain he was in.
Oh God!
Like finish before you go after Donna.
Dude, you are 7 for 7. All right, you can do a perfect 8. This is it for a perfect score. And I rule, John Wallach. After a gang of English hooligans breaks up David and Juwan's concert, Juwan does this to end the problem.
He starts rapping with David on stage, doesn't he?
I'll let you. What does he say?
Squash it.
No, this is the episode I was talking about.
What the hell is that? Squash it, man. We out.
Okay. All right.
I was just talking. That's the episode I was talking about.
I mean, are you kidding me, John? I mean... A perfect 8 for 8.
By the way, the guy wore, like, traditional, like, African shirts and stuff. Like, he was full on.
All right. Bonus points, Fred. The name of the band of English hooligans that were booked at the Peach Pit and caused all the commotion.
I have no idea.
Bloody Rue. Thank you.
Have you seen every episode?
Yes.
It sounds like a dumb question.
I've seen every episode.
Yeah,
yes.
So have I. Yes. But like when Dylan got married and came back to the show, it gets a little bit...
Yeah, he
I haven't watched those more than once.
He got married and then just left because he couldn't handle it and then magically just showed up 2 years later.
Yeah, when his career didn't take off, he came back.
Luke Perry didn't hit it big like he thought he would.
I will tell you this, Rich. The last couple of seasons of 90210 are not easy to watch.
No, okay. You really got to want to finish.
You have to be a completist.
Yes, you do. And I was, so.
AJ, go ahead.
Hello, guys.
What's up,
hey,
AJ?
Guys, hey.
Hey,
you'll be happy to know I do not eat my corn the long way.
Thank you very much.
No problem. Hey, I just want to let you guys know that you guys have really inspired my life. I've come through a pretty hard time with disease and not like, you know, a regular disease. And while I was going through dialysis and chemotherapy and stuff like that, you guys were right there on the TV in front of me while I was doing all those things for the longest time. And now to understand that you guys are are leaving the TV. It's kind of sad for me. I really appreciate what you guys did for me. And Rich, I've reached out to you a bunch of times. Fred, I've met you at Hurricanes. And I really appreciate everything that you guys have done to keep my spirits high. It's going to be hard for me to listen to you guys just on the radio. I live in New Hampshire.
And, we got the app, the 98.5 Sports Hub app. It's the exact show, and you'll be able to hear it live right there on the app for you.
Yeah, I hope so, man. But
you know, can
just seeing you guys on a daily basis, it really warms my heart. And I will listen as much as I can. I just had a baby, a new son. And so I'll be back and forth and listening to podcasts, and I'll be there with you guys. But just know, man, if you guys can ever get back on television, I record you guys and I watch you guys all 4 hours, from when Fred says hello in the morning till when you guys go off in the at 10 o'clock. I'll miss it a lot. And you know, before I even got sick, I used to listen to you in my headphones at work. And, I used to listen to all three shows all day long. So just know that there are people out there that you guys touched, and especially Mary and her story and all that stuff. I mean, I get choked up a little bit thinking about it, because I'm going to miss you guys on TV. And I, you know, this is part of my, right now it's part of my life, because I'm still recovering from what I'm going through.
How you doing, man? How's the recovery going?
I'm doing a lot better, man. In 2015, when this all started, man, it was very grim. And now I have a son that I prayed for my whole life. I prayed for my son, and I have one now. And you know, whatever happens to me in the future, who knows? But right now, I'm doing good, and I'm right there with you guys, man. I'm not gonna stop listening. You know, I'll listen any way I can. When I'm mowing the lawn, I'll have my headphones in and podcasts on. So just know that, you know, that your television didn't go unused. I really used it every day for the betterment of my life, and I appreciate it, and I thank you.
Well, let's two things. Number one, AJ, you're in the best city in the world for doctors. So just know that whatever you got, the best people in the world with the best access to the best medicine are right here. And second of all, you can go to 98.5 Sports Hub's app in the App Store, and it's exactly like you hear it on the air. And we appreciate you listening.
All right, Richie.
You can still hear us.
Richie, go ahead.
Guys, I love the show. I listen all day, every day. I canceled my satellite subscription years ago, but you all sound like a bunch of pussies talking about the TV show.
Talking about 90210.
My friend, I don't think you know.
Talk to these two. I didn't watch. I'm all man.
I think you're closed off. You need to try something new, man.
I mean, you don't understand. To you, it just sounds like a bunch of college kids, but you don't understand the undertones and the violence and the drugs.
I was watching ECW.
And Kelly got put in. All right, relax there. You didn't watch it. Kelly joined a cult that was joined by a, that was started by a.
I got to hang up.
Okay. Started by a professor who, who
in a wheelchair, the minds. Yeah, I remember him.
Mm-hmm. That was when it was still good. Once they get out of college, it took a little
while. Is that when Adam Silver, is that when David Silver became the main character? Is that kind of when it jumped the shark?
No, he was pretty main character. I mean, he
post the Heights.
He was behind.
I know, but when the Heights took off, isn't that kind of when it jumped the shark?
Yeah, no one from 90210 was on the Heights.
Yeah, I thought the dude from the Heights started on 90210.
Ray Pruitt was on.
Yeah, but Ray Pruitt was only on a season.
Yeah. Still, I mean, it's a spinoff of 90210.
No, you're talking.
The Heights is a spinoff of 90210.
No, it's not.
Okay.
It's not.
Was a character on the Heights first on 90210?
Yeah, but it wasn't the,
is it the same character?
No. Same actor. Not
no,
the same,
same
character.
Actor.
Oh, see, I thought the Heights was a band on
that.
Well,
no,
once again,
no,
it shows
no,
how
no,
I didn't watch.
Yeah, I know. I wish you would just shut up.
I was watching arm wrestling, professional arm wrestling.
I mean, you have to interject yourself into the conversation. John and I are having a conversation about something we're familiar with.
Yes.
And you just keep butting in. Wow, you watched ECW and arm wrestling.
I actually did not watch ECW. He's saying that just to sound more manly. I was probably watching.
I don't know. I don't understand why you.
What the hell's his problem?
I don't understand why you interject yourself in the conversation.
Oh, don't offend me in my 90210 talk.
Well, I mean, look, You don't see me talking about metal, do you? I mean, it just, I'm not a guitar fest guy. I
sometimes
mean,
you have to. Sometimes
you don't
have
see
to,
me jumping in, do you?
Yeah, sometimes you have to suck it up and just be like, all right, they're having a conversation. It's a little above my head.
Goodness.
All right, tomorrow, let's do Rich.
Okay.
We'll find out what Rich's is tomorrow.
All right.
We are running late.
8 for 8, baby. Deal
with it. Yeah, I mean, listen, you can't lose one. You're out.
Here's Boom.
You're out.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for psychobabble horse crap.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Greg Bedard has an article in his Boston Sports Journal about not to be so certain that Rob Gronkowski's situation is settled. He gives the example that they have not decided on any kind of contract extension.
And that was something we thought was going to happen a month and a half ago.
Right. And so the theory is that Bill Belichick is testing Rob Gronkowski, to which I would say this is a bad idea. Because there's two ways to look at it. You could say I'm testing Rob Gronkowski's willingness to, you know, his desire to still play football. And then I could counter that to say, well, his desire to play football is going to be a lot lower if you don't pay him. So you're kind of gambling here. You're gambling. If you're concerned about him wanting to play, then you're certainly not doing anything to help that situation along.
See, I think it's more of the first part of the article that he wrote, and that is that they still haven't figured out whether or not they want to trade the guy. And they're still trying to talk to teams and see what they can offer up now that we're getting closer to the season. And the ultimate point of this is if they do love Rob Gronkowski and they want him to be around for a while, why hasn't this extension been made?
Well, we were theorizing that it could be because they wanted to see, you know, they're playing hardball with him, and they didn't like the way that he behaved this offseason.
Isn't that kind of testing him?
That is testing him,
which
I don't agree with.
Oh, which is stupid. Well, you and I have both, from the beginning, said, pay the guy.
Yeah,
pay the guy. He's worth it. You got to keep him.
The way I look at it, the offseason, and that he didn't show up to OTAs, and that he, you know, was doing all the crap at the motocross thing, was obviously that he was considering retiring and he was pissed about his contract and all these things. If that was the result of him being pissed off, why would you want to continue that narrative? Like, why would you not want him not to be pissed off?
Also, trading Rob Gronkowski right now might be the dumbest move you could make, in particular in this offseason. When you've got all of this stuff that's been ever since that Seth Wickersham article about there being dissent between, you know, Guerrero and Brady and Belichick, and now what you're going to do is during a year where for the first four games, Julian Edelman ain't going to be there, you're going to take away Tom Brady's best weapon? So he's basically sitting there like a dead duck over the first like four games.
And what are you going to get from him? Because if I'm a team that's not in contention, I want nothing to do with Gronkowski. I have to be on the cusp of a Super Bowl to want him.
Oh, what if you
gamble on him?
Who do the 49ers have at tight end right now?
I don't know. Oh, who knows? But
I would think that would be somebody who would fit in quite nicely.
I mean, he'd fit in anywhere. It doesn't matter if it's the 49ers, but if I'm the 49ers,
I'm
saying I don't
is know
if
the 49ers are not a team that's in contention right now. I wouldn't
trade for him if I'm the 49ers. No way. I'd have to be on the. This would have to be the piece that I believed made us a Super Bowl offense. Because, A, I don't know if he wants to play anymore after this season. B, he's consistently hurt, and they're chronic injuries. They're not.
This year is pretty good.
He's
TB12, baby. It's cured everything.
Well, listen, then you be a GM and deal with the consequences of that. But, no, he has chronic injuries, which would scare the hell out of me. So if I'm a 500 team, what does Rob Gronkowski do for me?
See, here's the thing, and we discussed this earlier. There's a push and pull. The Patriots can't trade Rob Gronkowski for anything less than at least one first-round draft pick. But if you trade him for pick 30 or 31 or even anything lower than 20, I mean, how can you sell that to a fan base that, for the first time in a long time, is pretty pissed about the way last season ended? I mean, you're not... It's no longer in Bill We Trust. That's been eroded over the last 3 or 4 months.
Well, you say that, then why haven't they signed him?
I don't know. I'm with you guys. You should pay
him. Well, because
him.
The Patriots do things that people don't
NFL
understand.
History.
And then they generally work out. I mean, the Patriots, let guys go and everyone gets into crazy, you know, maybe they feel that this is the time that he's physically, that he doesn't have much more to offer, and that, you know, if they extend him, it's going to, with the bonus money that he gets, that they're going to end up losing on the back end of that. I just don't know who you're going to trade with.
San Francisco, by the way, George Kittle is the gentleman's name. He had, I think, 43 catches last year. They need a tight end. That's the point.
Right. They need a tight end.
They need a Rob Gronkowski.
And if I'm San Francisco, do I get... I mean, the only reason if I'm
San Francisco is also a place where Bill Belichick has made some very friendly deals.
Well, listen, if I can get him for a second-round pick or a third-round pick, God bless you. But I'm not giving up a first-round pick from him unless I thought... I mean, I'm still not... But the only way I could rationalize a reason where they would, even though it's dumb, is that it would help Garoppolo's development because he would have that target.
And, I mean, how many games are they expected to win without Rob Gronkowski right now? Like, I mean, what's the over-under when you take a look at the changes that they
were
made
undefeated with Garoppolo?
Is putting him in there enough to get that, like, make them a definite for the playoffs?
They won't win the division, but they'll make a run at a wild
card. I'm
not spending on and giving up assets for someone who gets me into the playoffs. That doesn't do me any good.
I don't know.
No.
You're the 49ers. You've been that
awful
for a while.
Are you crazy? You don't give up a number one pick.
It depends.
Hang on a second. You don't give a number one pickup for a guy that you think that might squeeze you into the playoffs.
Well, he's also the greatest tight end. I mean, it's like...
What is he going to do? You're not going to win the Super Bowl because you got Rob Gronkowski. You make the deal for Gronkowski.
Yes, I do.
I absolutely do not.
You have two years left on his contract at a reasonable price. If you don't have to sign
him... He's going to want to get paid.
Sure.
It's the same situation as in New England. To get him... And to get him motivated, you're going to have to pay him. And by the way, a two-year deal, you think they're a Super Bowl contender in 2 years?
I think they, well.
You think next year they're a Super Bowl contender?
But they have to do what they can to compete.
No, they don't. You don't give up a first-round pick. You're building for the future with that franchise.
They've got a brand-new stadium they got to sell seats
Rich.
To. And
you
Garoppolo's
have to,
a splash.
Oh, you're out of your mind.
But Gronk
so
makes
I'm
it even
gonna give up a mid-round first-round pick so I can get a tight end with health problems that's got maybe 2 years
the
left?
The best tight end of all time history with your quarterback.
It makes
a transition for your quarterback easier.
It makes absolutely no sense. It doesn't. And it's not the way teams are built. It would be an unfathomably dumb thing to do. That you can get a guy in a rookie contract and you're going to give up the collateral of a first-round pick. Listen, if Gronkowski was 26 years old, I'd be like, hell yeah, let's take him. You know, we got 4 years left of him, 5 years left of him. No, you don't. You got maybe a season. And he doesn't do anything for you. You're not a Super Bowl contender. Now, if I'm like Jacksonville... You know, I'm interested. If I'm the Eagles, I'm interested.
But the Patriots aren't going to trade him to either of those two teams.
If I'm the Rams, I'm interested. If I'm someone on the cusp of a Super Bowl.
If Patriots trade him, it's to the NFC.
Right.
They're not going to see him.
Giving you examples of places where if I'm the team, I'd want him. Like if I'm Pittsburgh, I'd want him.
Sure.
You know, understand what I'm saying? Because I'm willing to give up that pick. Because, first of all, late first-round picks are overrated. And second of all, I'm not building for the future. I'm building for now. I want to win now. You know, because they got a whole mess of contracts coming up. But if they're looking to trade Gronkowski, it's going to be very interesting to see what they get. And Lord knows, maybe San Francisco will make a move for him. But if they have to give up a first-round pick for him, they're out of their minds.
If you're the Patriots, you ask for nothing less. You're forced to.
You ask for nothing less, yes.
Nothing less.
No, you want a first-round pick.
And if it's a low first-round pick, you get another pick on top of it.
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
And not a sixth rounder either. Like, you're going to give me a low first? I want a three.
Yep.
Also.
That's fair. I understand that. That's fair. All right, here are the headlines.
Thatcher and Rich.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack. Yeah.
98.5, the Sports Hub, where Toucher and Rich. Today, a very strange day as Senorita Fluff going to the vet. Only been to the vet like three times in her 18 years on this planet.
Why is it sick?
Bloody pee.
Ooh, that's not good.
Bloody pee.
Not good.
She's 18 years old. She's spry, but she's losing a lot of weight.
Is that the one you have to, like, sing to when she's in the back seat to calm her down?
Yes.
Okay. And what do you? How do you say it? What do you do?
Pusa kitty kitty, puss puss puss. Pusa kitty kitty kitty, puss puss, senorita fluff.
And in the winter, it's Mademoiselle Muff.
And of course, you can do this over the phone as well. You know, Stephanie will call you and say, the cat needs to be calmed down, and they put
Google
you on
that
speaker.
Name.
Mademoiselle Muff?
Yeah, don't Google that.
It's a French actress from the 1970s.
Sure. You can do this remotely
used to
as
do
well.
Stag reels.
Okay, that could be
but,
the case.
So, you know, fingers crossed.
Well, hopefully everything works out.
1:30 today, Senorita Fluff.
All right.
Take it into the vet. Blood tests.
Because
she's in menopause. There's no way she's having her period. So,
sure.
It's bloody urine.
Right.
Okay. Well, hopefully everything works out all right. Give us an update on Senorita Muff.
Okay. I will. I'll put it on Instagram.
Put it on the old gram.
I'll just tape everything. If they have to put her to sleep, I'll just tape the whole thing.
Why not? Well, we mentioned this earlier in the show, and this is something that should be actually be brought back up, because there might be a solution, or at least a denouement, to this whole Marcus Smart situation very, very soon. Because out of nowhere, we heard a report from A'Sherrod Blakely that the Kings are poised to make Marcus an offer after striking out with Zach LaVine. Now, they offered him four years, $78 million.
Yeah.
So,
it's like striking out with Zach LaVine. Zach LaVine's so good.
Well, I mean, that's the thing, is that, I mean, if they're throwing that kind of money at him, they're stuck with $20 million under the cap, and they're like, we just got to get anybody.
It's like only the idea that Zach LaVine is worth anyone's time or money.
Well, here's the thing. There are only two or three teams that can afford what Smart wants.
Right.
And Sacramento, because they have this crap load of cap space, can
unfortunately
pretty much throw whatever money they want at him.
Unfortunately, they have four guards that can play, too.
Well, that's the thing, is I don't think he would fit in, but they still, once again, it's Sacramento. They make bad decisions.
Right.
And they overpay players because it's such a bad organization.
Keep in mind, no one on Sacramento makes more than $11.5 million. So if you're going to offer, and A'Sherrod Blakely's report has the offer in the $12 to $14 million range, Marcus Smart is going to be your highest paid player.
Marcus Smart.
And that's not a short-term contract, either.
No, and he's not starting for you, and Lord knows how much he's going to play. I mean, you've invested draft capital into the guard position.
You can't sell that. And as I mentioned earlier, you can kind of sell Zach LaVine. He's a high flyer. He can score 20 points a game for
how
you.
How about this, John? Is that I've invested Buddy Hield and the other kid,
De'Aaron Fox.
De'Aaron Fox, who's their point guard of the future.
Right. So I've given this draft capital to
Marvin Bagley,
yeah. Right, so I've given this draft capital away, and now I'm going to trade for a bench defensive specialist?
It's Sacramento. They just do dumb things. You know, that's the thing.
No, I understand that, and they well could. Listen, I don't know.
Well,
is still Divac in control over there?
Yeah, who obviously is not very. It is still Vlade, isn't it?
He might be Danny Ainge is for Boston. I think Vlade Divac is to Sacramento.
That leads to two questions, though. If that's the case, how much are the Celtics willing to go with him? Like, how far? Now, would they match? Because they can still match whatever's offered. Would they match the 14? I don't think they would.
No.
I think they would say, we'll see you later, Marcus. Would they match the 12?
Yeah, I think so.
Probably.
I think they'd extend themselves out that far.
I think they would, too. I think they'd say, we'll give you 4 years, $12 million a year.
Well, because Marcus Smart actually makes sense for the Celtics.
Yes, of course.
Because they can use him, and they're a championship caliber team.
Okay, so if you are Marcus Smart, and let's say the Kings do offer the $14 million, and Danny says, we'll give you $12 million, where is he going?
He's going to Sacramento.
I think that he's been a guy who's made no bones about it. He wants to go where the money is, and unfortunately, that seems to be the case. Now, there was all these reports of bad blood, but if you follow any of the beat writers on Twitter yesterday, they were saying things might not be as bad as you think, because Danny Ainge gave you a fist bump to Marcus Smart and then like took his hat, like messing, what is there?
Now,
crazy guy, and like messed his hat up a little bit.
Now, having said all of this, if this comes to fruition, and Brooklyn was another team that was mentioned that had the cap space to make a run at Smart, I'd be real happy to see him sign in Sacramento instead of Brooklyn. I mean, I don't want to see him multiple times during a season. You know, I don't want to see him four or five times during a season.
At least he'd be going to a bad team.
No,
you're right. I understand.
But he could mess up a key game for you. What I'm saying is, if you suppose it's them in Philadelphia again, and it's one game between the two teams, and you're in late March,
you're going to Basketball Siberia at either place.
Well, I understand that, but if you're one game between you and Philadelphia for the top seed in the East, and you roll into Brooklyn, and yeah, you know you're a better team, but you need a win there, and Marcus Smart has one of those Marcus Smart games where he hits five threes and takes Kyrie Irving completely out of the offense, and you lose by two. I mean, that's certainly a possibility on any given night. I'd much rather see him go to Sacramento.
Another report that came out yesterday is that the Houston Rockets are determined to sign Carmelo Anthony. Is there any team that's gotten better? Like, I know the Lakers obviously got better, but they're not as good as you thought they were going to be. No. Well, they got LeBron. You're like, oh, who's going to follow him? We got Rondo.
Well, if only Houston had a isolation player on their team, a guy who wanted isolation.
Same thing as Oklahoma City all over again.
Well, no, it's Carmelo wants the ball. He's an iso player, and that's how he wants the ball.
And you got James Harden on your team.
James Harden's going to sit there like, no.
And Chris Paul's back, too. So, I mean, this is a very weird spot.
Carmelo's going to go to a team that won't give him the basketball. He'll die out there.
Well, I mean, listen, he was with a team.
Now he wants to win?
No, he has to be in isolation now.
Sure.
He obviously can't shoot threes anymore. He can't function in an offense. I don't know why would you do that? He's not good anymore. He was good for Team USA. And everyone felt good, and now it's over.
When he played for Denver, he was unbelievable.
I'm talking about over since the Olympics.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, I mean,
he's been terrible.
But just Carmelo is—he's one of the few people who has that stink on him. Whatever team he's on, he's not going to win. Now, if he was, although I don't know they could do this, if he was like humble, because they're going to buy him out of this contract over in Oklahoma City. I mean, they've already basically said they're going to do that. Do you do a DeMarcus Cousins type situation? Where you bite the bullet, you take a tiny bit of money and try to chase some sort of ring.
You're going to have to because, again, Anthony's numbers are on the way down. I mean, he's been in the league 15 years.
He was terrible last year. Terrible player.
They wanted to move him to the bench.
I think that he, according to some nerdy statistical thing, was one of the worst 10 players in the league last year.
Yeah, his scoring averages were down because he played with guys that didn't necessarily give him the basketball. He took fewer shots, had a terrible shooting percentage for him. His scoring average is down 6-7 points a game. It's not going back up if you go to Houston. You're going to see more of what you saw last year. The only difference is you have a better chance to win. But ultimately, is Carmelo Anthony the guy that's going to beat Golden State in a playoff series?
You know what? If there's any way Golden State can sign him, please do. Because he's an infection. He's an infection. He will infect team. No.
They know better.
It would be funny because he'd be like the 12th man.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Well, I mean, DeMarcus Cousins is, even when he's healthy, is he a starter?
No.
Well, yeah. Who's the center on that team?
Well, because Zaza's gone.
Now that your guy is in Detroit.
Julia.
I can't say it. I won't say it.
Just say the word John. Julia.
Not going to happen.
Mm-hmm. By the way, real quick, Josh, I don't know if you have his picture. Have you seen this horrible thing going around? This 18-year-old who lived in New Orleans, who's a Celtics fan, and his funeral photo? Oh. So his family wanted to do something special after he died for his wake. And what they did was they said, well, he loves the Celtics and he loves video games. So they took his dead body, put a Kyrie Irving jersey on him, sat him in a chair and put a Xbox controller in his hand and a bag of Doritos next to him with sunglasses and let people walk around him.
Don't show me that.
Instead of having an open
gate. I don't want to see that. I don't want to see it.
Awful.
No. Nope.
It is.
Josh, don't put it up.
Disturbing.
I don't want to see it.
It's a dead body that people had to kind of walk past and he's sitting there like lifeless Celtic socks. He's got Celtic slides. Oh, yeah, there it is.
I'm not looking. I won't do it.
You
can't make me. I'm not looking.
You think that's a goof?
No, it's real. No, that's real. I've seen people do stuff like that before where they're sitting up, but that is real. That is at a guy's wake. He's got Doritos. He's got some Barks root beer, Celtics Kyrie Irving socks, and he's sitting back dead with a controller in his hand playing
video
games.
How old was he?
18. Ooh, that is nightmarish.
There's a non-acceptance thing going on there.
Yeah, I have a feeling I'd kick his ass in whatever game he's playing.
Well, now you would.
Mm-hmm.
And Kennedy's dead.
Probably not very good anymore.
Well, you can't even work the buttons.
I wouldn't think so. We eat those chips, too.
You're not eating those chips.
Maybe I won't eat the chips.
No.
Can't do that. John, can look up.
Yeah, I'm not looking.
It's not like gross. John, it's John just weird.
Look. No, it's really
not,
weird.
I'm not it's looking. Not, it's not gross. It's just weird.
All right. It's so disgusting. All right, I can't even think of it.
All right. We'll find out what Zoe and Bertrand have on the way.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich. 98.5. The Sports Hub.
Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Our last Tuesday here in the old studios in Brighton.
Yep, I only have two more days. You guys have three more days.
Yep.
And then we head on over to Dorchester.
Our first, well, we're not going to have the full show, but the show's first true broadcast from the new location is Tuesday, a week from today, because we have the station golf tournament on Monday for Mass, a charity golf tournament.
And then it'll be like a week and a half, and then Fred's going to be there. And I think I'm off that Friday. So we'll have like one day over the next 2 weeks, I think, after this one's done.
Yeah.
They'll be together. By the way, I tweeted this out. The Ringer just came out with a oral history of Step Brothers, which is, I still think it's my favorite comedy. And every time I see it, there's a new line that makes me laugh even harder. So I don't know the Ringer, the way they do it, it's always a million words long, but
yeah,
it's
worth it. Start reading now. You'll be done by tomorrow.
In this case, it's worth it. Yeah. I will read an oral history of Step Brothers. Yeah. When's the sequel coming out? That was like I announced
she
it a while back.
Drum set.
Dude, that's the best. That movie.
She puts nuts in drum set.
Every time I see that movie, there's another line that makes me laugh my ass off.
I'm confused about Monday. You guys are off Monday?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because of the golf tournament?
Yep.
Yes.
What time's that golf tournament start?
Like 10, I think.
No, 1:30. 1:30 is the first.
1 o'clock.
The golf tournament starts at 1?
Yeah.
Well,
you guys ain't out of there till 8.
That's a long golf.
It's a long day.
Did it start last year at 1?
I don't understand why you're off.
I think so.
Yeah. Okay.
Hardy's playing.
Well, you got to get ready to play. You know what I mean? You got to hit a couple bucket of balls, get up there, feel the course.
Hardy's going to be there. Rich and I are going to be there. Maz will be there.
Hardy plays like 9 before the.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. He went off early in the morning last year, right?
Oh, you're playing?
Maz and I are going to do our 9 holes before the thing. Yeah.
Nice.
It's a nice little tradition you got.
I'm wondering what foursome we're going to have.
A little tradition.
Yeah.
It's a second year in a row.
Yeah,
sure.
They haven't let us play since we tried to kill Wallach that one year.
But you guys broadcast from there.
Yeah, they make us broadcast.
It's going to be Zoe and Arcand on the air that day.
Oh, nice. Oh.
He's an odd duck.
Good for you.
First time working with that weirdo. I'll break him in. Don't worry.
Baptize him.
I'll break him in.
Yeah.
All right. So is Bertrand in today?
Oh, yeah. He's right there. Yeah.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Full Voltron.
Hey,
there
guys,
you go. Hey, guys, hey.
Hey.
All right.
By the way, thank
did you.
Did you
go to Raw?
I did. I went to Raw last night. I did.
What a bunch of weirdos, huh?
I apparently got on TV a few times. I went on a whim, and I just brought a bunch of signs.
Sarge had his own box. We're trying to figure out how he afforded that.
Yeah. He
had his own suite.
Oh, give me a break.
I had one sign that just said,
"Not Sarge."
I got a seat right up near the front.
Wong
like
wasn't
if
there.
You were to take Wong a look at the there. State, now yeah. Wong's got to get the food ready for all the wrestlers when they show up afterwards.
Oh,
it's a busy night.
Wasn't there last night.
All right, this is like his Super Bowl.
The Wonger.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I got a ticket right up near the front of the stage on the left, so I could get maximum visibility. And I
Chase
brought
there?
A sign that said "Sarge is creepy." I held up at one
I saw
point.
Saw that one.
Where's Andy Wong was a sign.
What'd you do with Felger?
Felger plays with water guns. There was that one. And then you can't see Kitty Litter James Stewart was the other one, which might have got the best reaction out of all of them. That one was for
Fred. There?
No, well, Jay Stu had something that he had to attend to. Like, there's a legit reason that he wasn't able to go. But it was weird. I went thinking I was going to see the Kowloon crew, and the Don.
So they're all growing up.
And the consigliere were gone.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very strange.
Yep. It's kind of weird. It's just Sarge and his belts left.
Yeah,
you put that out on Twitter. Which one should I bring? Well, if you were 12, I'd say pick any of them. But since you're a 38-year-old man.
Is he 38? No.
I don't know.
No, he's like 32, 33.
I was shocked. Like, he and Johnson. I thought they were like both 60-year-old men.
Oh, well, Johnson, yeah. Oh, yeah. He looks and sounds like
I would say
like
those were the two oldest guys at the station.
Johnson, you can make the...
Johnson and Sarge.
Yeah. All right, what do you guys got going today?
We're going to start with hoops. I missed a lot of the Kyrie stuff last week. A lot of hoops news. Dan Shaughnessy's in 11-1.
And, all right.
Dan will tell you why baseball's dead at 11.
All right, sounds good. You guys enjoy yourselves. That'll do it for us. Everyone have a great day. Bye.